What do you think's the most disobeyed verse in the Bible? Think about it. What do you think is the most disobeyed verse in the Bible? Now, nobody knows for sure, and nobody can prove it, but one could argue that one of the most important verses is also one of the most often disobeyed verses, and also happens to be the most commonly quoted verse on coffee mugs in the history of the world. Perhaps the most disobeyed verse in the Bible could be Proverbs 3:5 that says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways," this is hard to do, right? "In all your ways to acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." What do you think is maybe the most disobeyed verse in the Bible? "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight." It's really easy to put on a coffee mug. It's really hard to do. It's way easier to worry than to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Those of you who are super Christians, you're not worried, you're just concerned. It's way easier to be concerned than to trust in the Lord with all your heart, because there's so much to worry about. Some of you have something heavy on your mind right now. It could be a decision that you have to make, and you're not sure what you're going to do. I'm certain that many of you are really concerned about your schedule. How in the world am I going to get it all done? Or it might be a child that you have that's not living in a way that you think is wise or God-honoring. It could be your marriage that you're trying and you're praying and you're hoping, and no matter how hard you work, it seems like you take 2 steps forward and then 19 back, right? It could be financially. The moment you start to catch up, everything doubles in price, and you're going, "How did we get here? I can't even afford to buy a house. I can barely even afford to buy milk right now." It could be that you're worried about the health of someone you love, or even your own health. What is it that you're concerned about? When you think about it, what we worry about shows us a lot about what we believe about God. Think about this. What you worry about the most often reveals where you trust God the least. Whatever you worry about the most is often an indicator of the place where you may not be trusting in the Lord with all your heart. Instead, you're leaning on your own understanding. What I want to do today is I want to talk to you about when you want to trust God and when you're trying to trust God, but it's really hard to trust God. This message is trusting God when you don't understand. We are in a message series called Think Ahead, and we're looking at different characters in the Bible to see how they thought ahead and pre-decided some faith decisions to better honor God. Today we're going to look at Hannah, from the Old Testament, and we're going to look at her pre-decision to put her trust in God no matter what she would see. We're going to start in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 2, and see kind of an interesting situation in a marriage. Scripture says this Elkanah. We're going to see Elkanah was a pretty good old boy, but he had some things to learn about women. First of all, he had two wives, okay? So Elkanah had two wives, Hannah and Peniah. Peniah had children, but Hannah did not. Now, according to several commentaries, a lot of scholars believe that it is most likely he married Hannah, and Hannah couldn't conceive, and he wanted to keep his legacy going, so he probably married Peniah in order to try to have children and keep his name alive. You can imagine for Hannah how difficult that is. So she's got, you know, her husband, and she can't give him children that she's got this other Peniah chick that can, and especially when she lived during that time, it was thought that a woman's primary value was from childbearing, and culture was mean. If you were a woman who couldn't have children, the culture would say, you know, you did something wrong. You've sinned. God is punishing you, or literally, you're cursed by God. So you can only imagine what's going on in Hannah's mind. She's like, I want to give my husband children. I want to have a baby, but I can't. Did I do something wrong? Is God mad at me? I'm a failure. And she might have felt very ashamed for something that wasn't her fault. But she thought it was her fault. And some of you may be in a similar place right now. You may be in the middle of a trial and you're wondering, like, is God punishing me for this? And you're praying that God would deliver you or heal you or help you, and he hasn't. And you're wondering, did I do something wrong? Is God even real? If he is, does he even care? In her story, Elkanah, he took his family to the annual worship for a time of sacrifice to the temple for worship and to offer the sacrifice. And Peniah, we're going to see, she could have starred on Mean Girls, okay? She takes the opportunity to throw serious shade on Hannah. And we'll see this in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Now, watch how mean she is. I mean, this is like, you think you got mean people in your family. This is ridiculous, okay? So Peniah would taunt Hannah and make fun of her because the Lord had kept her from having children. That's just mean. Year after year, it was the same. Now that phrase really gets me. Year after year, it was the same. Peniah would taunt Hannah as they went to the temple. Each time, Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. So, if you'd imagine, they're loading up on their donkey to go to church, and Peniah is going, I got babies and you don't. And year after year, Scripture said it was the same. Year after year, it was the same. And I don't know what it would be for you, but some of you, year after year, you've prayed and believed, this would be the year that God would bring supernatural healing. And year after year, it was the same. Year after year, you ask God to heal you of your depression. And you find it even difficult to make it through the day. Year after year, you're worried about money. And you believe that this would be the year that you finally would get ahead. And this is the year you fall even further behind. Year after year, you believe God is going to bring you someone special to spend the rest of your life with. And year after year, you got no good prospects, and you're wondering if there's anybody out there. And so you can kind of imagine how Hannah would have felt, because all she's doing is asking God to do what he does for almost everybody else, right? God, I just want a baby. Just give me a child. She's praying for it, and God doesn't give her the child. Year after year, she prays and she waits and hopes, and year after year, it was the same. How do you think she kept her faith in God? How do you think she handled it when people were cruel, criticizing her, when God seemed unfair? She made it because she had pre-decided that no matter what she sees, no matter what happens in her life, no matter what God does or no matter what God does not do, she pre-decided to trust in God. And her trust and her faith grew. Why? Because our trust in God does not grow in good times. When does our trust grow? We learn to trust God in the trials. We learn to trust God when things aren't going the way we want them to go. And so we see this in her own relationship with God. Her husband, I told you, Elkanah was a good guy. But this guy, he makes a massive rookie mistake. This is a side point, but gentlemen, do not ever do this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Do not do what he does. He says to his wife, "Hey, Hannah, why are you crying, Hannah?" Elkanah would ask, "Why aren't you eating?" So she's crying because her little sister wife's going, "You ain't got a baby." And so she's crying about it. He goes, "Why be so downhearted just because you have no children? You have me. Isn't that better than 10 sons? I'm being Elkanah. How dumb can you be?" Let's just call it what it is. This guy is not the brightest crayon in the box, right? He's a few fries short of a Happy Meal. This dude's cheese done slid off the cracker. "You got me. Why are you so sad just because you don't have a cute little baby? You hit the husband jackpot. You should be praising God. You got this stuff going on, and it's not in the Bible, but I'll tell you what Hannah said. She looked at him. I'm not going to tell you what she said, because there's a reason it's not in the Bible. But it started with, you want to rephrase that question? This guy is dumb. And she continues to trust in God, even though she's got no baby, and even though she's married to an idiot, okay? And the one thing she wants from God, you know he can give her, and he doesn't give her. And Hannah continues to choose to trust God. And I like this because instead of turning away from him and going, God, you're not there for me, you're not faithful, she continues to turn to him, and we actually see her turn to him and unload on it, which in many times is really a good sign. And I'll show you why. Here's what she does. Scripture says, once after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up, and what did she do? She went out to pray. What did she pray to God? Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. We're going to see Eli come into the story again in just a moment. And Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. What is she saying? We don't know exactly, but maybe it's like, God, where are you and why haven't you? And I've trusted you and you can and you haven't. And I know you can and I've been faithful and I'm believing you and she's got one and I don't. And God, where are you? And she's crying out in deep and honest anguish. And if you're ever there, I want to promise you that just because you cry out to God doesn't mean that you don't trust him. In fact, crying out is often a reflection of your desire to keep trusting him. God can handle your honesty. He can handle your emotion. And I promise you, he would rather you run to him in honest pain than turn your back on him when you don't understand. And so she's crying out, God, where are you? Whatever it is, and in the middle of her pain, she makes a vow to God, a promise. And here's what she says, O Lord of heaven's army, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, what's what she says? Here's the promise. Then I will give him back to you. If you hear my prayer, I will dedicate the entirety of his life to your service. Oh God, as she's in the middle of this sob fest, she's crying out in deep anguish and profound sorrow. Eli the priest talks to her in this unusual interaction, and he says to her, go in peace, and may God grant your request. What's actually happened here? Nothing has changed, but the priest says, God will grant your request. And she replies, oh, thank you, sir, she exclaimed. Then she went back and began to eat again, and she was sad no longer. She was no longer sad. She still didn't have a baby. She still didn't have her prayer answered. But she was no longer sad. How's that? Because she's still in the same exact place, just like some of you. Year after year, it's been the same. And you walk into church one way and you're sad, and you may walk out with the exact same situation, but you're no longer sad. How is that possible? Because she had pre-decided and in that moment reaffirmed with everything in her that no matter what happens, she's going to trust in the Lord with every bit of her heart, and lean not on her own understanding of what she thinks should happen and what she would do if she were God, lean not to, but in everything, in all her ways, she would surrender to him, acknowledge him, cry out to him, and he would do what a faithful God will do. What does she do? She cried out to God and was sad no longer. That's trust. Hannah's circumstances did not change, but her heart changed. She put her faith in God. Scripture says this: the entire family got up early the next morning. And what did they do? And they went to worship the Lord once more. Let me ask you again. This is profound. This is a reflection of faith. Nothing outwardly had changed. And what did they do? They went to worship the Lord once more. Nothing had changed. The situation was visibly exactly as it was before. God hadn't done anything noticeable. And they went to worship the Lord once more. If we can get really honest and not play like we're super spiritual Christians, it's super hard to trust God when we don't understand. When you know He could do something and He doesn't, and you've tried to be faithful and you sought Him and you prayed and you fasted and you prayed some more and you begged and you pleaded and you hoped and you did good things for people, and you're hoping that you know, hey, give an offering, maybe He'll notice that. And you continue to pray, and you continue to pray, and God doesn't come through. And they went to worship the Lord once more. I don't know who this is for, but you've been hanging on and you're about to give up. And one of the biggest acts of faith is to praise God when you still don't see it, to worship Him when you don't feel like it, and just to say, I'm not worshiping you for the what, I'm worshiping for the who you are. And you've always been good, and you've always been faithful, and you wipe the tears away, and you lift up your hands toward heaven, and you worship Him once more. Because you're not worshiping Him for just what you see, you're worshiping for what He says. You're worshiping for His faithfulness, because our trust does not grow in the good times. We learn to trust Him in the trials. And Scripture says in 1 Samuel 1, here's what happened. They returned home to Ramah, and when Elkanah slept with Hannah, what does that mean? She actually forgave him for what he said earlier. So they made up. Whatever you're going through in your marriage, there's hope and there's healing in the name of Jesus. Sometimes you gotta forgive. And so she forgave him for the whole better than 10 kids thing. And the Lord remembered her plea. And in due time, she gave birth to a son. In due time. And she named him Samuel. For I asked the Lord for him. She named him Samuel. What does Samuel mean? Samuel means heard by God. It means God heard. That's what it means. And so every time she would say her son's name, Samuel, hey Samuel, hey, every time she'd say his name, she was saying God heard. She's remembering her trial and remembering the faithfulness of God, that God heard her prayer and God answered it. Every single time, God, you remembered and you heard. Now, praise God. Hallelujah. You get to worship with the baby. But it kind of raises the question, why God takes so long, right? I mean, why didn't he do it years earlier? You want me to tell you why? The answer is, I don't have a clue. That's above my pay grade. I don't know. I mean, God's ways are higher than our ways, and God might not have done it because, you know, other times he didn't. I don't know why God didn't. I don't know why he didn't do what he could have done and did it earlier. But here's what I do know. That through the whole process, she got to a point where she actually dedicated her son. Her unborn son, she dedicated him to the Lord. If God had given her a baby earlier, she might not have done that. In other words, what I've found in my own life is sometimes God needs to do something in me long before he does something for me. Sometimes he's got to teach me something. He's got to do something in me to change my heart. If I'm going to trust in the Lord God with all my heart, because my heart's wicked on his own, and sometimes it needs healing, maybe there's somebody here. God wants to do something in you before he does something for you. And so if you're waiting, or if you're sobbing, and you go back and worship the Lord once more, how do you wait well? How do you wait well? I never know on the day of, but in a year or two or three later, I look back and say, hey, God, I still may not understand, but I see your goodness. I see your faithfulness. Because God has been faithful in the past, we can trust him with the future. His word is true, and he's always faithful. I don't know who this is for, but I believe God gave me a word for someone who's waiting right now. God gave me a word for someone who's hurting right now. God gave me a word for someone who's disappointed with God. And I want to tell you and promise you that God has not left you, that he's still here, that he's still good, that he is always faithful, that his promises are true. You can trust him. You can let him back in. You can run to him. You can cry out to him. You can fall upon him. You can cry in deep anguish to him. And then you can worship the Lord once more, because he is always good. He is always with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And Hannah did this. She pre-decided, I'm going to trust him no matter what. And then she dedicated her unborn son. And then she has a son. And she kept her word. And she gave Samuel to the Lord. And what did God do through Samuel? So many things. Eli and Samuel had the experience. God spoke to Samuel, and he interceded on behalf of God's people faithfully. And he became a judge over Israel and ruled. He established a school of prophets. He anointed David as the king of Israel. And through David's lineage, it actually led to the birth of Jesus Christ. That whole process led to a point of deeper trust where she could surrender her son and dedicate him faithfully to the work in the ministry of God. And through that faithfulness, God did so much to her son when she learned what? To trust in the Lord with all her heart and lean not on her own understanding, but in every single way to acknowledge Him, to submit to Him, to surrender to Him, and He would make her path straight. I want to ask somebody here today, what do you think God might do through you if you choose to trust Him in your trial? What do you think God might do in you, and God might do through you, and God might do for you if you choose to trust Him in your trial? God, help us to trust in You with every bit of our hearts, because You're good, Your promises are true, and You're always faithful. Let us pray. Father, we thank You that Your promises are true, that Your word is alive, and that You are always faithful. God, would You empower us by the power of Your Holy Spirit to learn to put all of our trust in You, to lean on You in all of our ways, to acknowledge You, to put You first. And God, we'll trust You to work in our lives, to bring things for good, to make our path straight. Help us, God, to trust in You no matter what. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.